we're six minutes late, so I'll hit the.
Okay. Yeah, the whole crowd, they'll all be waiting.
One of these years, you never know. I don't know.
He's not on this evening. What's
happening? Oh, what are we gonna do? I am Ross. Joining us is my co-host Ian, and together, to the delight of the entirety of the internet, we are attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry. And tonight, we're trying again, I say again, milk stouts. I feel like we had a couple of milk stouts, at least one night. There was the Deja Moo from Garrison. Yep. And I don't recall liking them. I don't recall hating them, but I kind of recall it wasn't overly positive.
Well, reference the Deja Moo, since you specifically mentioned that one. The first time was a good few months ago when I was drinking it in the Oaken Barrel. And I posted that night to you. I texted you and I said, hey, I'm drinking the Deja Moo because I love this. I love the name for a start. I love punning. And I thought this is going to be amazing because I love milk stouts. And I was underwhelmed by it. But... when we did it on your amazing millions watched show several months later, I thought, actually, this is better than I remember it for. And I don't know why. It was just I remember thinking I wasn't, you know, head over heels in love with it at first. But I thought, no, actually, this is pretty damn good. I enjoyed it.
So you like milk stouts, or you have a history with milk stouts, or however that works.
Yeah, I know that you. I noticed that you were saying that you're not just. Typically, you've been a bit underwhelmed with them. You prefer the oatmeal stouts and the dark.
Yeah, the oatmeal or the Irish stout. Because I feel like the times I've had them, and I think you're supposed to be getting kind of a creamy sense from it. And I have had a creamy stout is one that sometimes comes through with like a that's been pressurized by nitrogen. So a nitro stout with because it's got that really creamy foam, and that's where I really like it. So where the cream, it wasn't in the foam, it wasn't a creamy head on it was a creamy beer.
Yeah.
And I maybe it just rubbed me the wrong way, so I'm almost happy to try it again. And luckily, if you say you like milk stouts, then we definitely have an exploit. At least you are the most exploit of the two of us.
Expert, but you mean something a little, given over to them a little more. I'm expecting smoothness, Ross. That's something, of course, that cream stouts, milk stouts, should have in spades. I think they should be in the creamy and smooth.
It's utterly predictable that you're making that joke. We'll be milking these jokes all night. So first off, from North Brewery, the North Brewing Company, which is, I don't want to give them a hard time, but they are in one of the least north parts of the province. They're in Dartmouth. So...
yeah.
Is it North Dartmouth? I mean, what's the street here? Does it say? No, it doesn't tell me what street they're in Dartmouth, because I could tell you if it was closer to Waverly, then sure, that's the north end of Dartmouth-ish. But Canada is kind of the north country, so I guess you could call yourself north even if you're in southern Ontario.
North. It's more north than, let's say, Tennessee, so anyone really can call themselves.
Yeah, so on a worldwide scale... fine, North Brewing, go for it. But this is called the Headline Milk Stout, and I do like, so the headline being kind of, I guess, a headline news type thing, and then there's a television on there with the little wavy lines in the test pattern. That is old school. I don't think anyone under the age of 20 may have seen a test pattern like that before. Or a TV with knobs down the side of it. Look, there's the VHF, the UHF, and the whatever the third one is.
And rabbit ears on top. I don't see those anymore either.
Oh, I didn't notice the rabbit. Oh, I didn't see the rabbit ears over there either. I've been. Oh no, wait. There it is. It is described on the can, so we are in luck. Extra, extra. North releases milk stout. Bystanders pause to enjoy milk chocolate notes. Several newspaper outlets fold after attempts at integrity. The puns continue. The hearts of matters remain shrouded by falsity. Falsity. Cold comfort found in quality beer. Vapid noise persists. Comment section. Gone and on 3726. Shockingly smooth finish. A stout deserving of hyperbole.
I'm glad you said hyperbole. You know, for many, many years, my brother and I, we were Tangerine Dream fans, okay, in the 70s and 80s. And in the early 80s, Tangerine Dream released an album called Hyperbole. And for so many years, you can tell where that's going. My brother and I had no idea. We called it Hyperbole. And I bet many people still read that and see, oh, Hyperbole, what does that mean? Yeah, we'd mispronounced that name for years. Hyperbole.
My most embarrassing story of that type, I was telling this story last week at one of the open mics where when I grew up, I was reading books. And in books, I would always read the word chaos. But I'd also hear it on TV. So it's the difference between reading it and hearing it. So I thought they were two different things because on TV, there's this concept called chaos, very chaotic. But in books, there was this concept of chaos, but it was called chaos.
Chaos, of course.
And I always thought, I wonder why there's two words that mean the same thing. And then finally, I must have been probably 17, 18 when I went, oh, it's just spelt that way because English is stupid. Which is my answer every time my daughter says something like, why is it spelled that way? Because English is just really, yep, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So and then I always tell her the Gotti story, which she hates. Ghoti. You know this one, right? Fish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spelt Ghoti. So are we ready? Shall we crack this one? We're ready for the headline. All I'm getting from the description here is milk, chocolate, smooth.
I like all of that.
Yeah, should be okay.
After last week's explosion there, I did have the serviette ready to mop it all up. Didn't need to.
Single serviette. You're all set.
Yeah.
You're ready for the world. No, not the band, but a fine selection in video land.
Smelling the can. Yeah.
It's chocolatey. I'm getting a milky, yeah. Milky chocolatey out of it.
Bitter chocolatey smell for sure.
I'm doing the allow the head to form thing. And I have to say, I'm so judgy on the head on a stout because we're Guinness boys. And if it's not, you know, a nitrogen infused Guinness head, then we're going to look at it and go, it's all right, I guess, you know.
Guinness spoils with the sheer sexiness looking of the... There does not a better-looking pint of beer in the world. I'm sorry. Even though Guinness is not the best beer in the world, and it, anyone who says it is, it's clearly hasn't had much beer. But to look at a pint of Guinness when it's freshly poured, and then, of course, when they do that crazy thing when they put little four-leaf clovers or little lucky clovers in the top of it, it's the most amazing-looking, velvety, black and white beer. But, of course, flavour is the most important thing, Ross. I don't care what it looks like. If it tastes like shit, then I don't want it. Frankly, Guinness doesn't, but I think this is going to be good.
I read somewhere that in order to pour Guinness, any bar serving Guinness on tap has to have their staff go through a training where they learn to do the four-leaf clover at the end of it.
Wow.
But
a four-leaf clover.
The three-leaf one in the stem. The Guinness clover. Every single pint of Guinness I have had poured for me in Canada, I have been thoroughly disappointed that, one, I have not had a clover poured into the foam, and two, the pourer of said pint has obviously gone through no training whatsoever.
I don't know. It's a gimmick, isn't it? The whole clover in the top, even though it's kind of cool. And on Paddy's Day, if people can pull that off, you're like, ah, it's kind of cool.
I would love that. I would love getting that every time. It'd make me want Guinness more. But you're right about the sexiest pint that there is. And I'll try to think of some other competing beers that maybe tried to go with a visual thing on it. Because Stella does this in their commercials where they're like, here is our Stella chalice, and there's a little bit of head on the top, and they flatten the head off with like a knife or something like that, and I think, is this supposed to make me want to drink this? Because it's still just, you know, I can taste the piss water in my mouth when I look at this, the Stella chalice. I think we have at least one upstairs in the cupboard, and I put cider in it. They're really great for serving cider because cider tastes better than Stella, no matter how you slice the top of the head off of it.
Depends on which cider it is, of course, but I'll go with you on the majority of cases, yeah.
Corona, they do try to style that one as the bottle with the lime wedge in the top of it. But again, I can taste how awful that is, so I don't agree. Yeah, Guinness, the look of it makes you remember the taste, and the taste makes it, that velvety smoothness of it. Anyway, let's stop talking about Guinness. We'll try this one. How is yours doing? We're all set. This is black. That is inky black. This is abyssal trench kind of stuff here.
This I'm really excited.
A little bit of light down at the bottom of it. Still smelling milk chocolatey.
Yeah.
Fine with that.
You say the milk chocolate. I'm getting that lovely cacao, the bitterness of chocolate for sure.
Mm-hmm.
In waves. There's lots of it.
I'm hoping this is going to be really good. Cheers. All set?
Yeah, cheers.
Anyway.
Yep. Oh, God.
There's a little smokiness at the front end of that. But that's very welcome, actually. Mm. How interesting. That is a damn tasty stout, but it's not quite as milky or as chocolatey as I was expecting.
It's bitter, and I was getting that from the smell. It's not, to me, it's not a sweet, particularly sweet chocolate.
Definitely not, no.
I think that's good. Personally, I think that's a good thing. I like
it. I think it's amazing.
A beer to be bitters.
Tis not tasting of a milk stout. So again, I have to put my objectivity hat on and say, you have made a delicious stout. You have made something very damn near close to a 9 out of 10 stout, but you have made a 7 out of 10 milk stout. Unfortunately.
It's rich, isn't it? It's really rich.
Mostly it's examples, because I will probably change my mind about 6 times, but I feel like it's high marks for stouts, but middle marks for milk stout.
Hmm. Okay.
If I have to say that. But do I have to say that? Because we keep drinking types of beers that are apparently not types of beers based on any scale. There's no such thing as a white stout. There's no such thing as a triple IPA.
Yeah. I'll tell you what.
Is a milk stout a thing?
This reminds me of a little bit of when I was very, very young. In my late teens, a friend of mine used to drink a bitter and Mackesons. A bitter was, you know, like any bitter ale that I used to drink. And he used to mix it with a Mackeson stout. Now, Guinness obviously is the go-to for people in stout land, because just due to its availability. But the pub that we used to go to in my late teens there sold Mackesons on draft. So we used to have a half and a half, and that was more bitter than a typical Guinness was. This has a taste of a Mackesons to me, if my memory serves, and that's a really good thing. I like this a lot.
When properly made, the sweet notes from the lactose perfectly complement the bitter flavors of the beer's hops and barley. This is the concept of a milk stout, because I started wondering, what if what we are drinking is incredible because a poorly made milk stout would still be all, I'm still milky, blah, 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 blah. But what you want is it just happens to be made with lactose and it's delicious.
Do you know what I think we'll go with this? Nuts.
I was going to say cheesecake, chocolate truffles.
I'm not either of that.
I think a rich dessert would go well with this. This is a dessert-ish beer.
Like a tiramisu.
Mm. Do you know what?
Yeah.
One of the stouts. Here's another thing. I was excited about bringing back stouts. I really pushed stouts last week because we have a few stouts and we haven't had a bunch of stouts in a while. And they are stacking up because when we go shopping, we always go for the darks. So when we did the triple IPAs, we now have more stouts. And we had like 6 to choose from. So I'm in there going, I don't know what matches. And one of the ones we do have is from, Dip. I forget where it's from. I think it's North Brewing as well. And it's a tiramisu stout.
I looked at it
and I went, I don't know what tiramisu is. So I just picked the two with the same word. And these two both have milk on it. What is tiramisu?
Although this does have the Handsome Devil purports to be a coffee milk stout. Now, the one we just had, the headliner, the milk stout, the one we're drinking right now, of course, is bigging up the chocolate. So, and that's not to say that either of them won't have notes and hints of chocolate mm-hmm, and coffee mm-hmm. as well. But this is the bigging up the chocolate, whereas the coffee is going to come next. But like you said, they're both milk stouts. This is a good start. I like this a lot.
I do. It's not that it's lacking in sweetness. I think it just doesn't have the same sweetness as I found in the other milk stouts we've had. So I do taste a sweetness, and it does mix with the bitterness. This could possibly be the best milk stout thus far.
That you've had?
Quaffed ever. And yeah, definitely the best milk stout I've had this evening, that's for sure.
Yeah, you weren't overly enamored. Like I was saying earlier on there, with the previous couple of milk stouts we tried several months ago,
They left a weird feeling in my tummy tum-tums, and I started wondering if perhaps it was the lactose, and it's sort of like eating a big bowl of cheese, and I'm wandering all over the accents right now, but that's okay.
The Deja Mu by, it was Garrison, isn't it?
It was Garrison.
I
cannot remember what that was up against. I think it was just a stout and a milk stout, so that might have been part of the problem, where comparing a dry stout, which the other thing that I learned and I looked up was that Guinness is actually a dry stout and not a milk stout, and you shan't possibly confuse the two.
Whereas you put it up against stout.
Yeah.
It's like apples versus oranges. You can't do that. Was it from the, not the Sunny, the place that does Sunnyside in near Bedford there? Was it from that brewery? I can't remember now.
I cannot remember. Oh, an off track? You mean it might have been an off track? We tried a milk and cookies stout at around Christmas time.
That might have been it. Was that the one?
Maybe, but that wasn't the one that we had at the same time. Oh. That's the Illuminati. Those two were delicious. The Old Foundry did not like that quite so much. Stouts, stoutly stouts. Deja Mu Seeker. What's the Seeker stout from Spindrift? Apparently, was the one that we had. But I found Spindrift doesn't do the dark beers quite as well as the light beers. They are definitely lager. Seeker Vanilla Stout is a silky, rich stout. Yeah, okay. So we weren't comparing. That wasn't apples to oranges. It was apples to oranges, not apples to apples, because it wasn't milk stouts. But this, and maybe it was the order of events and whatnot, the sweetness is the only thing that kind of lingers. I get this delightful little milky sweetness, but it's not too much.
I'm not getting clearly the sweetness that you are. Of course there's a little bit to it because chocolate tends to be, but this is more of a much darker chocolate experience to me. You know, when you get those bars of chocolate and they start around about 50 or 60% cocoa, yes, and they end up 90%. This is more in the 80 to 90% area, as far as I'm concerned. This is bitter. This to me, there is a little bit of sweetness, really? But it doesn't linger. It's the bitterness that lingers.
I'm really impressed with the mix on this. As sort of reading on the can, where it's all supposed to mix in there, or about milk stouts in general, there is a sweetness, but it's supposed to mix with the bitterness and turn it into a kind of a one lovely smooth flavor. And I'm starting to see that.
You talked about the smokiness at first glance. Yeah, it's got a little bit of that when you breathe it in at the beginning, but it dissipates. That doesn't linger at all. There's no long-term smokiness, but the bitterness to me is kind of it's nice. It's nice and balanced, though. I really like it.
That is very, very, very good.
I've got to stop. I've only got that much. And I have to compare it, of course, at the end. I've got to stop right there. It's lovely.
This is definitely a yes, I'd have another when the server comes back.
You're not kidding. That's delicious.
It, I'm here. Yep, just a tiny smack of smoke. Just on the top, and then the whole thing, it smooths through with the sort of the creamy and the light sweetness mixing with the bitter, making it its flavor at the back. It's just, that is, oh, it's delightful.
You know what it reminds me of a little bit? Reminds me of a disposable razor blade.
Okay.
No.
You're highly amused, but I don't know where this is going.
And you, well, by the end of last week, I don't think either of us can remember too much about it, but I went off onto this thing about Bic razors versus Gillette and blah, 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 because those two 10% beers laid me down.
I hope we were making sense by the end of that one. I managed to get through the outro, but oh yes, too. So
we
cut our teeth on the 8.2, 8.3 night, and then we decided a 10.1, 10.2 night. So it's all, you know, I think we are pushing our limits, certainly.
Yeah.
Here's something that I noticed. So we are apart. We have both joined the what is it, the Maritime Craft Brew something appreciators page or something on Facebook. It's the group thing. Is it Maritime Craft? Anyway, so people are often posting, here's this, you know, Pump House, there's different ones, New Brunswick this, and a bit of Newfoundland PEI and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I messaged and I asked permission. I said, do you mind if I try to just push a little bit and just advertise that we're doing this this podcast thing? Said, oh, no, go right ahead. And so once a week, you know, I put up our things and I think, okay, maybe once a week, is that too much? I have a closet full of beer and we have had over 100 of these, but I don't think we drink as much craft beer as these guys in there. There are some dudes and they're posting 2 or 3 times a week. Oh, trying this pint at this place and it's really good. And I think, wow, we're doing 2 beers once a week. And we're in no fear of running out of beer in this province alone. So I think these guys have got the right idea. 3 or 4 a week.
Just said over 100. Well, like it's just over 100. I think you're probably talking closer to 200 by now, Russ. I mean, you've been going for 115, 120 weeks, something like
that.
You're
probably right.
Weeks. Yeah, and 2 a week from, and then sometimes 3, 4 a week. No, I think you're pushing probably double that. I know you've got all your records because you're a complete nerdy geek. So you've kept all your reviews of them. And so you know exactly what you've had. I'm surprised you don't know. And you're just going to throw a number at me. Don't look at it now, but I'd be interested to see what it is. If you look at it, maybe next week you can let me know.
I think it's actually just behind here.
got it there. Of course you have.
It is. Here we go. It's, yeah, you're right. 206. You are quite right. At least 200 now, because I haven't even squeezed in. I sort of just hashed in a couple, and there's just a quick placeholder. I haven't filled all the information out because I'm really lazy. I like information and graphs and whatnot, but I also don't like reporting things. There's the other side of things. Our next one, we're both saving a tiny little bit at the bottom here. Our next one doesn't have a description on it. Oh, hell. So I'm going to see if I can look it up on there. Dear me.
Can you multitask and listen to me while I ask this question? Are you able to do that?
Oh, go right ahead.
I couldn't do it. I know I couldn't, but I'm sure you could. Seeing as we spent an evening at the Roof Hound with, is it Steve? I can't remember. Les. Was it down at, yes, Les down at Roof Hound a year or sort of 14 months ago, maybe even longer ago than that now. We did 6 or 7 that night. Was the Handsome Devil one of them?
Oh my goodness, what a good question. I feel like it must have been. Was it?
I would imagine it's not. I don't think it's a particularly new brew, is it? I don't know if it is, but
we did.
Right.
We drank this on June 14th of last year.
Great.
And I really liked it, and you mostly liked it.
I mostly liked it.
I didn't realize that this was a milk stout. Well, okay. Hear me out.
Okay.
Dare we go and get the tiramisu stout?
Is it a milk stout?
You still haven't answered my question as to what tiramisu is.
Well, a tiramisu is a really sweet dessert, isn't it? It's full of chocolate. It's rich. It's
okay.
And it's, listen, I don't have tiramisu on a daily basis, but I know I've had it maybe several times in my life, and it's so sickly sweet. But I do have a tiny sweet tooth. Okay, I've got a crunchy bar in the fridge right now, ready to go as soon as I finish this evening. I've had tiramisu; it's very, very, very sweet, Ross. However, is it a milk stout?
Maybe not. It might not. It didn't say milk stout on it. So
I think you want to go with what you're already going with, just because I didn't even put that to cool off, and I like stouts a little cooler. Oh. I threw this in the freezer 20 minutes before we came on air, and I like it to be a little cooler, a stout. Do that with the same with Guinness. I know we've had this conversation many times before about how what the temperature you should serve your beer at, and I know that typically here, I think Canadians serve it far too cold because it loses its flavour. But I like stouts to be kind of cold too, and if that was a room temperature stout, I maybe wouldn't enjoy it as much.
See, I never remember to look up the ones that we had in the little taster glasses, because that was more of a review of the premises and being there, and in that case we got really lucky there because we got to talk to Les, who I'd love to have on the show again in the future. But now that we're sort of, you know, bringing them home, trying it in the comfort of your own delightful in your sea level brewing glass or whatever the case may be, that's my argument for it's different. I'm not an idiot, and we just did it that way.
That's right. And those are mostly, they're normally 4-ounce cups, aren't they? This is not a 4-ounce beer cup, but I just picked it up. It's as a candle, but they're normally around about this size. Something like that. It just happens to be lying here on the table. And you can get a flavor of it. That's why it's a flight. You can get just a taste of how it is. But at least if we do the whole damn bottle, we're going to have a better appreciation for it. Are we not?
We did seem to really like it. And yes, I think this is going to give us a much higher appreciation for it. I'm not sure if it ever told us what, because again, it's Roofhound, so it's probably a slightly different batch, you know, every year and whatnot. But here is the Roofhound Brewing Company with Handsome Devil, a 5.5% coffee milk stout, says there across the front. Now, usually a lot of the Roofhound ones are a brown label. You know, you get your standard brown label, and then just and I love that old fashioned typewriter font that I guess Courier New, for the, you know, font nerds out there, would be the font that you get across the middle. But this is a different thing. It's got this kind of sky blue with even lighter sky blue logos of, there's a mustache and the Roofhound dog there, but the mustache perhaps depicting the Handsome Devil. Now, another thing I loved about the headline milk stout is the color. Look at that. It's just this ugly brown behind on the can. And spots? Yeah, just spots. I wondered if those were tiny little hops. They are not. So, Handsome Devil does not say... Does it have spots?
No, I'm just saying, you talked about the headline kind of with the brown and the TV and the old TV. It would smack to the 1970s to me, with a crappy couch in 1974. That's the color of the can there.
Yeah. But I like a darker color on a darker beer. You know, this Handsome Devil with the, you know, bright blue. I'm not entirely certain what I'm getting here. I mean, the where it says coffee milk stout, there is a kind of a brown-ish logo under that, but I don't feel that that's entirely descriptive. Speaking of non-descriptive, there is nothing on the bottle. I have to go over to the website. And the website says the following, and I quote, Handsome Devil, milk stout, coffee, bold, roasty.
Is that it?
That's it. That's what you get. So, you know, where you got the 1970s with the extra, extra, and here's the TV thing, lots of puns and whatnot. Roofhound is, here's your beer. Shite.
I forgot to say, I mentioned that Colin O'Neill, who sounds like a very Irish person, so he should be right up on his stouts, with the North Brewing one. This is on, of course, Untapped.
Oh, you're reading the Untapped reviews.
I know. I'm crazy. He said it's smooth and sweet, the best milk stout in Nova Scotia by a quarter mile, which is oddly specific. The key with this one, he said, is balance. Now, there we are. Interesting. It has sweetness from the lactose sugar. It's not overpowering or sickly sweet. I was thinking the same thing, that it doesn't have a bitterness to it. It has a little bit of sweetness, but it doesn't. It's not like it's cloying, like you say, sometimes you felt a little bit sick after drinking it. So you didn't get that off that milk stout. I know that I'm taking away somewhat from the Handsome Devil's Halle, but I thought I might get that in because I agree with all of that. I'm not sure about it being the best milk stout in Nova Scotia by a weirdly a quarter mile.
I have left out the quarter mile, but I have already said that it is the best milk stout I have had thus far. I didn't realize that the Handsome Devil was a milk stout, so this may change things, because according to our old bar graphs over here, oh, I should probably bring up our comment section. Oh, look, it's still empty. According to our old bar graphs and pie charts, I really loved the Handsome Devil when we tried it at the pub. So, I am curious to see whether or not the same, to see whether I'm bewitched the same way twice.
Having said that, you may have had it immediately after drinking a sour, in which case you'd have said, anything is amazing taste.
Take a whiff after the cap has come off that bottle, and I know exactly what... Oh, that... Mm.
Cap's off the bottle?
There is... It's like an industrious smoke level. That is...
Coffee.
Yeah, smell that. That is definitely some roasted coffee coming in off of there.
The
head on it is looking very similar to the head on the North Brewing one. I just say, in my mild
coffee,
in my mild disappointment, we didn't get to do coffee stouts last week. The Triple IPA was an eye-opener, and it was a lot of fun, and I don't regret it for a moment, but it just made me all the more wistful about a nice stout week, getting back to basics, back to what I know, back to what I love and enjoy, and I am so far loving the hell out of this.
Well, when you suggested that we should go to stouts this week, I, for one, wasn't crying over my beer, so I've been looking forward to this as well.
I thought you'd pounce last week, honestly, but no, you're like, don't we have triple IPAs?
Well, yeah, I fancied having a bit of a laugh because I really thought, I think we both said this, we thought we were going to hate those with a passion, knowing beforehand what we think of IPAs. And wow, were we ever surprised coming out and thinking both of these are really good. So going into this week, you'd think we're going to love both of these, but there's always that tinge of maybe we won't. Mm. Maybe these milk stouts will disappoint us. Like the first time I tried the Deja Mu, like I just mentioned, I was a little bit disappointed in it because I do love my stouts.
But we've had the occasional bad stout, and
it wasn't a bad stout though. I don't want to say that it wasn't a bad stout. It turned out to be pretty damn good the second time I tried it. So maybe I just wasn't in the right mood for it.
I still thought it was adequate, but I wasn't actually picking on the Deja Mu. Here's who I'm going to pick on. So in local beer news, the small town of Wolfville, home of Acadia University, has Church Brewing Company, who we have talked to Steve the brewer, and Paddy's Brewing is right in there, which I have certainly cut my teeth on many of their beer options over the years. But there's some open commercial real estate and restaurant real estate in the middle of town. And we were driving past it the other day, and I asked someone who is quite in the know, and they said, that's going to be the new satellite location of one Salt Box Brewing from down in Mahone Bay. And I went... Everyone else went, a brewery? That's amazing. Why are we going to... We're going to have three breweries. This is going to be amazing. And my mind went, I haven't liked anything I've had from Saltbox. In fact, specifically, the old Foundry Stout, I think, is the only stout that we've had where I have given it less than, like... And I gave it a lot less than an 8 out of 10. Usually, it does not take much to please me with a stout.
I'm picturing that very, very red can.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. I remember the same thing. It's a bit underwhelming. Yeah.
It was a bit, and I felt, I'm trying to remember now. I think it was yeasty. It was a little yeasty, so I don't know. I actually felt like maybe it had sat in the cupboard for too long.
Yeah.
But we have had others where they sit in the cupboard for a while, and I'm like, Mrs. Wah. Suddenly I went to Yoda, good beer this is. You're like, that came out all kinds of strange. How many have I had?
Thank you, Frank.
Another triple IPA.
It might be that if that is a solid all year round brew that they do, then if they start brewing it locally again, then it gives you and you go and buy a can of it, then you'll know that it wasn't because it sat in your basement for too long, and maybe it was its best.
And this has come up again, where another friend of mine says, "Oh, he loves the Triders Red."
Yeah.
And I said, "We really didn't." And he said, "No, it's their go-to. They get it all the time." Says, "All right, if other people tell me, no, you got to try it. It's really, really good. If you tell me that you have loved a beer that I have tried once and didn't like, I will go get a second one. No problem there."
Give
so
second go. Sure. Yeah. Sure.
100%. Yeah, I have no problem with that. So Saltbox coming to town, great. I am a little, and I don't want to say worried or scared, but if their offerings remain as low on everyone else's opinion levels in comparison to my opinions of Church and Patty's, then I can't see how they're going to last very long, because that's a competitive market to open up a brewery between a well-established Patty's.
Yeah, you've got the cidery right there as well, don't you?
I know it's cider. You're not.
The fact is that a lot of people will go on certainly in the warmer months on a little, as you and I have done on many occasions, start at one end and go to the other end of Wolfer. We're only talking 400 or 500 yards, but you've got like 6 different establishments there in a short space of time. If you threw that in there as well, it's competing with the other breweries, and
it's making me rethink this 50th birthday 18 Guinnesses plan. Maybe we have to revisit the once a year summer Wolfville pub crawl invented by Ian and Ross, trademark, patent pending.
But wasn't that awesome though? When I know it's not there anymore, but Jeff saw sort of offshoot there as well in the Bad Apple, right there at the beginning of the strip, and then you'd go, and that I think that was when there was about 6, and of course that disappeared. But Church sprung up since then, or maybe they overlapped.
We went to Church one of those nights.
But
we did not go to the Lib Pub. I have rekindled, I don't want to say rekindled a fondship. I have mellowed only ever so slightly on the Lib Pub, because I have started going, and you need to do this, started going on a Saturday afternoon to the Lib Pub in Wolfville between 2 and 5 and listening to Carter Lake play music. It's just the warmest musical afternoon of joy you can come across. And he lets me go in and play the drum. I go in with the cajon. I just, "Hey, I brought this. Do you need some percussion?" He said, "Oh, we'll always have some percussion." And I'm up there. And it's what I learned playing kind of backup percussion when I would bring it into to Noodle Guys. Well, bringing the backup percussion is great because 2 things happen. Usually you get a chance to play, because if there's 7 guitarists and you bring a guitar, you're not going to get a chance to play. But if you're the one guy with the drum, hot commodity, you are in the round. And the best part about that is you have the best seat in the house. Because I've got Carter over here playing along, and my friend Vic is over here, and Vic's noodling along as well, and I'm just sitting in between them, and all I have to do is taka 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 taka, and then I can do this taka taka boom taka boom taka boom taka boom boom taka taka boom taka boom, and you're in it, and it's one of those moments where I remember I had been in the school band for probably like 4 years. I played trombone, so I'm in the back row, and there's just sound all around me, we went to one of my band concerts, and afterwards my dad said words to me, and he said, he'd played in bands before, he plays guitar, and he said, "I always envy where you sit at these concerts." He said, being surrounded by orchestra must feel amazing. And it was up until that moment that I did not appreciate that I was surrounded by an orchestra, and it was the best seat in the house. And I have always started appreciating where I was sitting or where I got to hear the music from musically ever since. And my favorite place to be is smack in the middle.
Interesting. I'm not very percussive. I've sat on cajones occasionally just to kind of try and keep a beat. I sometimes try and do it with my guitar, just tapping on the bass. I know that some people don't enjoy that, and in fact, they find it quite intrusive. I find myself when I'm listening to a musician playing with their guitar, I tend to, and I've got my guitar maybe on my lap, I tend to find myself just tapping along to the rhythm without meaning to upset them in any way. I just find my fingers just tend to do it naturally. So I would think that it would be a natural thing for me to do when I get a cajon, but it goes to shit because what happens then is I'm trying then my best to get a rhythm going with what they're playing, and then I'm trying too hard. Some people just find it naturally comes to them, and it's weird because I'm becoming quite now percussive with my guitar when I'm playing. You know, there's a lot of slapping and a lot of string pulling, so it's coming naturally in that respect. But when I try to get a rhythm going on a table or with a set of drums, forget it. It sounds like I am a complete novice percussive. It's weird.
That's odd. I mean, I mostly turn my brain off if I'm there and doing that. I start looking at the wall, and I'm not even sure what song we're playing. And occasionally, I look over and I find myself staring not at a guitar player's hand for the rhythm and the movement, but I look at their feet because usually they're tapping their feet, and I tend to go off. And anyways, we talked about percussion and music all night. We have a second beer here. We should probably have a little bit of this music.
Saturday afternoons. I haven't seen it, but I've seen various clips on YouTube, of course, and obviously knowing what Carter can do with a guitar, wow.
And
I could sit there and watch that as well.
So I went in, and I think they had a couple of things on tap and whatnot, and then eventually I just said, they have Propeller ESB on tap, and they have Guinness on tap. So you go up to a nice warm room. There's lots of people. And I just sat in the background. I was behind a row of people are up there. They're stomping. Hey, man, go hire the bird. And it wasn't even an Irish jig at the time. But Carter's at the front. And he's got a little tiny amp there. And Vic's through the amp. So you hear it all perfectly. Sitting in the back. Sat in the back of a nice. It's wooden walls, wood everything. It's the old brass fixtures. And I started appreciating this place, because the sun was coming in on a nice, beautiful Saturday afternoon. And I think that's what I like about it. It's a sunny, old-fashioned place.
Right.
And, and the music was velvet. Get yourself in there. I don't have too many free Saturdays in my life, but I will go back when I can. To the Roofhound! The Roofhound, Handsome Devil. This is coffee. It's coffee. It's definitely going to be coffee-ish.
It is coffee, but you know what? It's been sitting there a while now, and I get my nose in it, and I hate to say it, it smells a bit like washing up liquid. Now, it might be because maybe I didn't rinse this glass out.
Did you rinse your glass?
Yeah, I'm hoping that's not the case. And also, the head has just done a runner. There's nothing going on. It looks as flat as a fart.
Really?
I know yours is. Yeah, I'm hoping that I have not ruined this by not rinsing my glass properly. Anyway, the truth is in the flavors.
We'll try it.
Cheers.
Slightly overwhelming coffee. Is it too much?
It's very coffee-ish.
Is there anything left after the coffee dissipates?
I've done something to this glass. Look at it. Can I see yours?
It's about the same. It's got a little. Is it not?
Yeah, it's. I don't see why I should. I mean, I do rinse my glasses, but I don't know.
With maybe soap.
No. It's like a cold coffee. With a weird soapy taste. I think I've messed up my beer.
I'm definitely not getting a soapy taste. My aftertaste, so it's the coffee up front. So that roasty burnt, that roasty flavor that I had at the very beginning of the north one. This one has it like dialed up to 11. And it's coffee roasted. So there is still that sweet, sweet mixed with bitter at the tail end. Again, not too milky. So I love it. It's not like huge on the lactose. And it does say a coffee milk stout. So they're not... I think I would almost complain if it didn't have a big flavor to it.
Yeah, mine... The smell of mine, I'm not sure whether it's sunlight lemon washing up liquid or palm olive that I'm getting. So I think I've completely messed up my beer. I can't even, I'm not even going to give you any, anything about this. You know what? I'm still going to drink it because it's here and I'm not about to pour it down the drain.
Like better I do if it was poured up into another glass?
I think it's too late, isn't it? If there was anything hanging around in the glass. By the way, I took this out of the cupboards. It's not as like I just washed it, but it might teach me a thing or two because next time maybe I should just give them a little rinse just in case there was some residue going on.
Yeah, I took mine because I store my my new collection of local craft brewery glasses just over down here in the basement in the cupboard, and I started to think, are they dusty? So I got them down off the cupboard, and here's my cleaning regimen.
Regiment.
I blew into the glass.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, get any kind of dead spiders out of it or what have you.
Yeah.
And to their credit, neither of these beers taste of dead spiders. Speaking of dead spiders, we have a comment. Cheers, fellas, from Tim Villilli is there in the chat. Tim, we are trying some delightful milk stouts tonight from both North Brewery and Roofhound Brewery here. And despite the fact that Ian doesn't or overwashes his glasses, I have to recommend both of these. If you are one who is going to get into a roasty, slightly sweetened stout kind of flavor, I think they both hit the mark.
It's not neither of them, Ross. I know that, like I said, I think I really shouldn't be judging this book by its cover at all. Neither of them are really very creamy milk stouts to me.
But
at all.
I think the
bitterness of coffee and chocolate is coming through it to me in spades. There doesn't seem to be a great deal of milkiness or creaminess or to them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I do, but I'm arguing with myself as to whether or not that's the point. Tim is asking him to save us to save him one, but sadly we only got one for each of us. So we don't really think too far down the lane here, but we know where to go to get more.
Damn beer, Villilli.
And so I didn't like the Deja Mu because it was too sweet, too milky. It was too much lactose. Where I feel like I don't think the milk stout is the flavor profile. I think it's just the processing method. You know, what if that's it? So this, this is a milk stout. I said, it's a really delicious, slightly sweet stout. I love this. Well, we happen to make it using lactose. I don't think it's supposed to taste like lactose. I think it's just method. So is it tasty using the method, or because when we had the Deja Mu, that one was like, oh my God, it's like you poured, 18% cream in this. This is just a little much. So I think these are the right way, despite the fact if the Deja Mu is the obvious way.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it's too obvious. It's an IPA that we don't like, the IPA that's growing hair on the bottom of it because there's so much hop. It's just kind of poof hops. But I think the mix is what they should be going for.
I hear you. I'm not helping myself by eating handfuls of peanuts. I know I don't.
Crumble them up and put them in the beer.
Yeah. No, but taking another big swig of it there, coffee in an abundance. So it does, you can't. You
very
can't
coffee.
You know, when you said about, well, it says it's calling it this, and yet I'm not getting that at all. So it's a perfectly delicious beer, but it's not what it says on the label. This one does, and it's got it.
And this coffee. I appreciate that about it. I appreciate the flavoring. And I think this is probably why I loved it in the pub as one of our samplers, because I think we went, here's the rye IPA, here's the, you know, the some of the lighter ones that are all a bit off the top, like the Garage Band IPA and things like that. And then eventually we get to, here, try this. It's a coffee stout. Yes, it friggin' is. And booyah. And this obviously would be my favorite, because in comparison to everything else we were drinking, which is why this is slightly more important, because we compare a milk stout with a milk stout. When we're out, cough, on location, he said, sounding all fancy, as though, emphasis on the journalistic integrity. Sorry. Yeah, it, where we have the full, the and wheel then of color and whatnot, all, right, all the diverse offerings. I don't think they hit comparatively. They hit as an initial, and you sort of think, oh, either that's gross or that's yes. It's very, very binary on and off. And this was a yes for me in on location. But now that we can compare it with another quote-unquote milk stout, I think it changes the flavor profile in my head and my opinion of it. I love that it tastes abundantly of coffee. When they say coffee on the bottle, and boom,
yeah,
you get it.
Sure, but at least when you do go to the pub on location, you're getting it straight through the pipes, delivered to you right there. Now, this was poured into this bottle or into this can, probably several months ago, and no one can tell me that they don't taste slightly different when they've been sitting in a metallic can or in a bottle for several months, rather than coming straight through the pipe. You've read something?
No. Remember when we were told that if you put a beer in a transparent glass,
yeah,
it takes, yep, on the flavors of what the light comes in and touches. So, you know, all this Simba, all that the light touches can be yours.
Was it Keith that was saying that?
It was either Keith or Pete. Pete mentioned. But in the can, the light can't ruin it. So the Mr. Golden Sun, can wreck your beer if you keep it in a translucent, yep, glass. Was your glass of Handsome Devil in a nice dark corner?
Not necessarily. I mean, it's in a corner, yes, and it's not flooded with light, but it certainly isn't dark. Like, I know that yours is behind a closed door, and it's completely, it's black as night in there. I know that because you don't even have a light in it.
Nope, so it's the panic room.
Yeah, that's perfect.
keep the beer in the here, panic room.
Said that. Having said that, I don't think this was quite recently that you gave me that, wasn't it? The Handsome Devil, I think.
Would you like to remember a little bit better than that? We tried to go out for a pint a few weeks ago. And we started in Roofhound, and it was too busy. Okay. So we said, fine, we'll just buy some of your beer and leave. That's what we think of you.
Yeah, that was only a month ago then, or something like that. So it's very recent. Yeah.
And there's another stout. In fact... Three of the six of the stouts in there are Roofhound stouts. But I think I've got one that you don't have, because I've got the 805 mint, and you already drank that.
Yes.
But that was based on like a stout from a couple of years ago, so I have no idea what that's going to taste like now. I love having numerous stouts in the cupboard.
You know what, Russ? I think if there was some washing up liquid in it, so any kind of detergent whatsoever, I think the coffee's chased it away, because coffee is so abundant now.
It's very, yep.
It really is. It's so coffee-ish. But also, of course, look at it. It's like a Coke that I've allowed to sit there for about 3 weeks on the table.
Well,
it's nothing in it. There's no, yeah, I can see.
Well, the bubbles don't stay. It's because of your washing up liquid. And so, yeah. I think this one has to be your favorite washing up liquid tasting stout we've had so far.
Absolutely. I don't think I've tried another one.
The Dawn. So
nothing to compare it against, to be honest. So I'm not even going to say, I'm just drinking it, and I'm letting you make all the interesting observations about it. Mine just tasted of a little bit of chemicals And it's not fair to me to even be talking about it. Although I will say it's very coffee-ish.
It's very coffee-ish, very strong. And I can't fault them for that because that they tell you that's what it's going to taste like. So if you say, hey, I'd like a milk stout, they say, we've got a milk stout, which this one from North Brewing is. This is fantastic milk stout. Fantastic. And then they say, and we've got this one, which is a coffee milk stout. And they say, oh, that's not quite as smooth because it tastes too much like coffee. Well, we told you it was going to be a coffee milk. Are you all right? You know, do you need us to call you an ambulance? Would you like a therapist? Because how can you say, no, I don't like this particular milk stout. It tastes too much like coffee. That's what it's for.
So I think the Honey Nut Cheerios tasted a bit too nutty and honey-ish for me.
Way too sweet. Can't stand it.
Yeah,
don't like it at all. And Special K with the bits of strawberries in it. Did you know they have the audacity to have it taste like strawberries?
Tiny bit more strawberry-ish than the regular ones. I'm not sure if I prefer it.
Inedible. Oh,
because
my wife is announcing that she is nap trapped, so I should probably go and rescue her very soon.
What does that mean?
That is when the baby falls asleep on you, on your upper torso, and then on your legs, the dog falls asleep on your legs as well. So you can't move because everyone is asleep upon you.
Well, I've done that with three children. When I had my twins, of course, my boy was 21 months old when the twins came along, and I would have a twin in the crook of each elbow on milk, and there's me in the middle. And my son might be on my chest, and he was only 20 months old at the time. So I have fallen asleep there myself at like 2 or 3 in the morning with 3 of them on me. That was fun. I may have an old factor after that, but my goodness. I kind of envy you, Ross and Brittany, because I know you've been there once before, but it's a real fun time. It's exhausting, but it's such fun.
Petrified. Brittany with the comment of no, thank you. As soon as you mentioned, well, with the twins there, the little boy there, like, no, 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 no. That sounds awful. I am going to choose my words when I'm complaining about, oh, I feel a little tired with the one infant son at the moment. And you there with, oh, 3 under 3 right there. And 3 under 2.
3 under 2.
That's bonkers.
I'm glad I left this.
I haven't gone back to the North one yet. I'm going to finish off the smoky coffee one, which I do like. And I think I will happily, even though it's not my 9.0 that I gave it before, I will happily drop it an 8.8 for the Handsome Devil. It is very, very well done. Might be slightly overdone on the coffee because I'd love to appreciate all the milky chocolatey stuff coming in afterwards, but I'm not getting it because the coffee is just so strong.
And I've just made the rest of my headline taste like peanuts. I've got to stop doing this, Ross. I've got a bit of an addiction for peanuts these days. I don't know what it is. I've picked it up in the last several years. I love peanuts, and that's maybe just not a bad thing because peanuts go very well. But listen, for years, of course, they've been selling bar nuts on in bars to sit there and nibble on while you're drinking your beer. So
yeah, but are those actual peanuts or are those something else?
I don't know.
I don't know what bar nuts or beer nuts are. I have no idea.
No, you did. You do know that old joke. Have I said that old joke about the guy sitting there at the bar? He just comes and sits there one evening and he sat there at the bar. It's a new bar to him. And he's just nursing a pint by himself. There's no one else there. Not even the barman is there. And he's just sat there very quietly, just scrolling through. And he hears this little voice saying, "Lovely evening this evening, sir." And he looks up and looking for someone to respond to, but there's no one. Oh, so he gets back to his scrolling again. "You're looking very dapper this evening, sir." And he looks up again to give a response, but there's no one. There's no barman. There's no one at the bar with him. There's no one behind him. So he goes back to his scrolling again. "Oh, yes, sir. I love the tie and hat combination." He looks up again. And then the barman kind of walks in, sort of cleaning his glass, and he says, "Can I get you another one, sir?" He says, "No, I'm not sure." He says, I keep hearing voices saying my hat's nice, my tie's nice, it's a lovely evening, but there's no one else here." And the barman says, "Ah, that's just the bar nuts, sir. They're complimentary.
Oh. No, I'm yeah, you got a good chuckle out of that.
Good.
I may be accused of being polite with my laughter, but no, that was.
Thank you. I've just gone back to the headline, and it's got some stuff to it.
Mm.
That's what the handsome devil, the flat handsome devil with the washing up liquid failed to have. The milk stout from North has a lot. It's still got some legs as well. There's some froth going down the other side.
But my handsome devil still had some legs.
Right. Well, and then
had some legs, did it?
Yeah, that's my glass. The milk stout by headline, I really like it. I prefer it, but that's because it had no competition, because the other one I've ruined.
True, maybe. But yeah, so which is why I'm still looking for like an 8.8 for the handsome devil, and I think maybe like a 9.2, a little above a 9 for the headline. It was very, very good. Very, very good.
It's my favorite too of the milk stouts that I've tried on your show. So when this guy said that it was the best by a quarter of a mile, might even be, I don't know, two-thirds of a mile.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Well, I'll still give it a quarter mile, because my handsome devil wasn't full of washing up liquid. So, also, I think washing up liquid, that is a Britishism, because my parents say that as well, being from Scotland. I haven't heard washing up liquid since the Scottish parents, since the upbringing, because everyone else, what do they call it? Dish soap, we call it. In Canada / Nova Scotia. That's like, hey, you all, and now I'm going to just put it in a guttural British accent. You only dish soap.
But on the flip side, you say in North America, when you're going to clean yourself, right? This is something that's different.
Define self.
Clean yourself. You say, I'm just going to go wash up. And that means to wash your face and hand, doesn't it? I'm just going to go wash up. Now, to us in the UK,
as do the dishes.
It means you're going to go and do the dishes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I know it as.
Really? So when someone says to you, I need to wash up, it means they're going to go and clean themselves.
Yeah. No, it means they're going to go and do the dishes, because I'm broken. Because I was born in Nova Scotia with Scottish parents, so my vocabulary and the words I use are so wrong. My sister has this wonderful story. She went to a boyfriend's house in high school, and she saw a picture on the wall, and it was askew, I guess. And she looked at it, and she said, oh, that picture's squint. And everyone looked, and they all looked at her and said, what? She said, it's squint. And they said, what do you mean? And she could not think of the word lopsided or askew. Yeah. So she was just standing there like some sort of mental patient saying, it's squint. And she couldn't think of the other word for what is in the UK. If it's squint, it's lopsided. You say, oh, that's squint.
Yeah.
Or askew, lopsided, just to the wrong angle, and she couldn't think of another word for it. So she's there, standing in Canada with a Canadian family, like, it's squint!
Is she older or younger than you?
She is, my parents never had the 3-under-2 situation with us. My sister is nearly 5 years older than me.
Okay, yeah.
So,
okay.
Four and a half, I have said.
Closing in on her big 5-0.
Thank you for bringing that up. Yes, and I need to stop dropping my own age and then mentioning I have a sister who's exactly that older than me, because then everyone's going to call my sister and say, are you 50 yet?
That's my fault.
She's going to go on a murder spree if I keep doing these kinds of things. God, she probably does not like the fact that I'm a rather public persona in the, the entertainment industry, one might say. Cough.
I've enjoyed my stout evening. After last week's craziness with the IPAs, I really enjoyed the stout evening, even though I balled one up. I need to go back to the Roofhound, which is not a bad idea, and pick up another Handsome Devil in the fairly near future and try one with a clean glass. And then at least I know whether or not I'm going to enjoy it as much.
We've ruined a couple here and there. We ruined the oat cake computer in a trunk. and something went wrong with the triders, you know. So people have suggested that we tried someone more than once. So I think we have a night that's like some sort of the classics that we're supposed to try again. That could be a good time.
What a wonderful idea. Yeah, ones that we ballsed up. We ought to give another go. Yeah,
maybe that'll be a good one to do out in the deck. We'll do that on a nice sunny night. Do it out in the deck.
I love that idea.
It is Ross, pitch black. It's 9:14.
You know what's going to happen now?
Not tonight.
I'm out of here. Good night.
Yep. So we'll get outdoors one of these times. Ian has left. I need to go and rescue my wife, who is under several pounds of tiny creatures. That sounded nefarious. But you can tune in live to the live show every week, 8 p.m. Here in Nova Scotia on the Facebook page for Drink NS Dry. Or you can check out drinkns.unsupervised.beer, and that's where we have the website. But you can also look up the podcast, Drink Nova Scotia Dry, on any kind of podcasting platform, app, thing that you've got. I think we're on most of them, and you can subscribe to our little podcast that comes out usually, every week, Wednesday. I get around to it at some point, uploading it. It's usually around Wednesday or Thursday. I'm not sure if there should be an official release schedule or if things happen quite that way. And enjoy some of these beers. Thank you, Tim, and my wife, Brittany, for being in the chat, albeit just to tell me that you are stuck under several pounds of creatures. That's just what I'm going to call it from now on. But thanks, everyone, for stopping by and listening tonight, and we'll see you next week. Good night.